1 Samuel chapter 27. We're going to be looking at a subject as I evaluate these chapters. What I do is I try to see what kind of theme is in these chapters. And chapters 27, 28, and 29 have a theme that I find here that deals with trust. Trust. What is trust? Well, trust is being able to depend upon somebody else. It's putting faith in someone. And trust is very important to any relationship. Alright? Very important for any relationship is trust. And faithfulness builds trust. Prudence builds trust. What do I mean? Sometimes I'm beginning to learn that a lot of the words that I use go right out through one ear and out the other. Nobody understands. What do we mean by prudence? Well, prudence is to make wise decisions, to make wise choices. That's to be prudent. All right? God wants us to be prudent in the things we buy. God wants us to be prudent in the things that we do. God wants us to make wise, careful decisions so we don't make a mess of things. We need to be prudent. All right? So prudence builds trust. Communication builds trust. Communication, when we communicate with someone else, it builds trust in them. You know, so when you talk to somebody else, you're building trust in their relationship. Loyalty builds trust. Experience builds trust. What do I mean by experience building trust? Well, by that I mean that when you spend time with a person, you get to know them and you get to see the way they respond, the way that they act and the things that they do, it is able to build trust. And every relationship there's a need for trust. Trust is very vital to building strong relationships. We're looking at the subject of trust this evening. This evening, we're going to be going to look at three situations that lacked trust. The Bible tells us three different things in these issues that build trust, and things that deal with trust. The first thing we're going to be looking at is the fact that David lacked trust in God. 1 Samuel chapter 27, David lacked trust in God. Chapter 27 starts out, and you can follow along as I read, and you can gain from this. Chapter 27, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coasts of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose and passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish in Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David fled to the Gath, and he sought him no more again. Sought no more again for him. Now, as we look at this, we see here, first of all, David lacks trust in God. He lacks trust in God. He goes down to the enemy's camp for protection. Now, were the Philistines friends with Israel? No, they were the enemies. They were fighting with Israel all the time. There was battles between the Philistines and Israel. David went down to the Philistines to find protection. Now, several things we can catch from here. One of the things is that he did not trust the Lord to meet his needs. He should have trusted God. He should have said, God will take care of me. God will meet my needs. I don't have to run over to the Philistines to get protected. But he didn't trust God for that. Not only that, but there's something we see lacking here. Nowhere do we find that David said, Abiathar, come. Let's bring out the ephod. I want to pray about this and see whether God wants us to go to the Philistines. It didn't say that. Evidently, he didn't pray about it. He just decided, well, you know, one of these days Saul's going to catch me and I'm going to die. I guess we better get out of here. Let's go over to the Philistines. See, if you don't pray about a major decision, you're asking for big trouble in your life. You really are. We've got to pray about every decision in our life, especially big ones. And this was not a little decision. This is a big one. Then not only that, he went to Gath. David ever been to Gath before? Do you remember anything about Gath? Well, just a few chapters back, David went to Gath. Remember, he was by himself that time. And the king of Gath said, is not this David the one who was, they said he has killed his 10,000s? And what did David do? Remember what David did? He acted like an insane man, and the king of Gath said, get him out of here. We don't need an insane man around here. And David got away, and he said, whew, that was a close one. I thought they were going to get me. And he goes back there again. Maybe he feels better now because he's got 600 men with him. I don't know. Why would you go back to a place where you just barely got out with your life the last time? Why would you go back again? But he did. He goes back to Gath again. Now, not only that, you remember what happened in Gath. Who was the big man in Gath that David met one day? Goliath, exactly. Goliath of Gath. Why would you go back to his hometown? He might have some relatives there. He might have some cronies there that aren't going to be liking too much to you if you killed their big brother. You know, not the kind of place you want to go. But David goes back to Gath, and there in Gath, he meets this guy named Achish, who's the king there, and Achish gives him a place to live. And he says, you can stay with me. Achish gives him a place called Ziklag. Down in verse number 6, and Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore, Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. So Ziklag's a little town there near Gath. And he says, David, you can live in Ziklag. And all your men, so you live in Ziklag, and then you can be part of our area here. We'll, you know, you're protected here with us. You don't have to worry about Saul. But then what did David do while he was in Ziklag? Well, David was not doing right. David made more wrong choices. You know, when you make a wrong choice and go the wrong way and get in with the wrong people, you're going to end up with a lot of wrong choices later on. David keeps on making bad choices here. We see that in verse number 8, it says, and David and his men went up and invaded the Gershites and the Gerizzites and the Amalekites for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. So he invaded some of the towns that were in the south. They were not towns of Judah. They were towns that belonged to either the Philistines or some of the other enemies of that area. And so he invaded these areas. All right, and he's capturing this. And it says in verse 9, and David smote the land smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have ye made roads today? And David said, listen to what he says, against the south of Judah and against the south of the Jamileites and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will his manner be all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. What did David do? He lied. He lied to Achish. He didn't say, I went down and attack some of these Philistine cities, some of these cities that are your friends. He didn't tell him that. He said, I went to the south of Judah, and I captured some of the cities in the south of Judah, and I attacked them. He was lying to him. Why? So Achish would think he was his buddy. He wanted Achish to think, I'm one of you. I'm on your side, Achish. And he's lying to Achish. Not a good thing. Now, how did this all come about? It happened because David left the land of Israel and he went into the heathen land and lived among the heathens. And when you're living among the heathens, what happens? Their attitudes and their actions and their pattern of life rubs off on you. That's why God tells us over and over again in the scriptures that we're to separate from the ungodly and to be different than the ungodly and not to get in with the ungodly people, because their bad character rubs off on us. You know, we have a hard enough time. Those of you who work among ungodly people, you have a hard enough time keeping your ears scrubbed clean and your thoughts scrubbed clean because of all the garbage you hear at work. Can you imagine if you're living among those kind of people by your own choice? Wasn't a good thing. Wasn't a good thing. David made some major mistakes. And anytime we get our eyes off of the Lord and onto the circumstances, we will lack trust in God. Okay? Anytime you get your eyes off the Lord and you start looking at your circumstances, David started looking around thinking, you know, if I don't do something, I'm going to die. Because Saul doesn't give up. He keeps lying. He keeps saying he's going to leave me alone, but he doesn't. He keeps coming back. And one of these days, he's going to catch me. And he says, my circumstances are not good. I guess I need to go to the Philistines to get away from here. He doesn't go to God. He doesn't pray. He doesn't say, God, what would you want me to do? He makes a wrong choice. And you know, making a bad decision is like eating chips. You eat one, you want another one, you want another one, you want another one, because it tastes good. And so it is with bad choices. You make a bad choice and it's going to get you into more trouble and more trouble and more trouble. And you'll tell one lie and cover up another one with another lie and you get it. And David was digging his hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And things were not going well. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man. Being afraid of what people are going to say. I don't want them upset with me, so I better do what they want. I better go their way because I want them to be happy with me. I don't want them to like me. You know, you teenagers, you young people, you need to be very careful about this because there's something called peer pressure. Now, we all feel it. Adults do as well. Sometimes we don't admit it as much. But young people, you face peer pressure. Peer pressure is when the people around you are doing something a certain way and you don't want to be weird, so you want to do it like they do so that you can fit in with everybody else. And if they're doing something bad, then there's a great temptation for you to do something bad so that you can be like everybody else. And we've got to be very careful about that. God says the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. When those kind of things happen, if you'll trust the Lord and say, God, you're going to have to help me. Help me. God will help you and meet your needs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, verses you ought to know. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So if you depend on your own understanding, you'll make a mistake. You depend on God, and God will bless you. God will meet your needs and help you and guide you. So we need to make sure we depend upon the Lord. So David lacked trust in God. We find also that Saul lacked trust in God. Chapter 28. Chapter 28, Saul was afraid of the Philistines. Look down at verse number 3. It says, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel lamented him. Lament means to cry. All right, like lamentations. Lament. All Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. All right, those who had familiar spirits and wizards. Talking about witchcraft. Witchcraft, demonism, all that kind of stuff. Dealing with witches in the occult. Right? He put them away. He killed all the witches he could find. He would kill the witches because that's what God said, that if there was someone who was involved in witchcraft, they needed to die. And so Saul was doing that, which is a good thing, but it's just giving us some background here. Verse number 4 says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together and pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. So you can imagine, Saul's up on the one mountain, looking over the valley, looking over all the Philistines. And he thought, whoa, look at all those Philistines. How many are there? Help me count, guys. Whoa, thousands, 2,000, 4,000, 5,000. There's thousands of them. We don't stand a chance. We're in big trouble. Saul was greatly afraid. He was greatly afraid. And this caused him troubles. Now, we read on. And Saul inquired of the Lord, verse number 6, and the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. All right? Three different ways God would sometimes speak to them and give them direction. One is sometimes in the Old Testament days, before the Bible was completed, God sometimes used dreams to guide people. Now, I don't believe God does that today, but he did it in the Bible days because they didn't have the Bible. None of them could open up their Bible and say, all right, God, guide me. Show me what you want me to do. They didn't have that to do. All right? So sometimes God guided them by dreams. Other times he guided them by the Urim and the Thummim. All right? Remember, those are those black and white stone that was in the breastplate of the priest. And he would say, God, guide me on this. If it's yes, I'll pull out the white stone. If it's no, the black stone. He'd reach in and God would guide him and he'd pull out the stone and it would guide him in direction. So that was another way that God gave him direction. And then he said also by prophets. So he says here that Samuel's dead. So Samuel the prophet's not there to help him. And he's not getting any dream guidance from God. And the Urim and the Thummim isn't working. God's not answering him. So Saul's in a big problem. Why wasn't God answering Saul? The answer is pretty simple. Saul had turned his back on God. Saul had turned his back on God. He had disobeyed God. He was not pleasing to God. He had never gotten right with God. Remember when Samuel confronted him in chapter 15, Samuel said, "You have not obeyed God." And he said, "I obeyed." He says, "I hear sheep bleeding. Why do I hear sheep bleeding? God told you to kill all the animals, all the people from the Amalekites." "Well, you know, the people decided to keep some of the sheep." And he's making excuses. So Saul never gets right with God. And Samuel says, "God's going to judge you now because of that. You're going to lose your kingdom." And he said, "Oh, please, please, let me talk to God. Let me pray." He never says, "I am guilty. I was wrong. Please, God, forgive me." He never got right with God. And as a result, Saul can't talk to God. Remember, Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So God's not listening to Saul. Saul is away from God. He's disobeyed God. He's not gotten right with God. And he's never repented and had a change of heart and mind. And repentance is the key to forgiveness. Until we repent, there can't be forgiveness. So he never did that. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy." We need to deal with our sin the right way. Samuel was dead, so he couldn't seek Samuel. Now Saul's afraid. He is terrified. He looks at all those armies out there and he counts his soldiers and says, "We don't stand a chance. We are going to get slaughtered. We don't stand a chance against that huge army out there. What are we going to do?" And he's worried. He doesn't get any direction from God. And, you know, sometimes we treat God like a genie in a bottle. You know, I don't believe in genies in a bottle, but you know what I'm talking about, I think. You know, where there's this magic thing and they get this bottle and, "Oh, I got 3 wishes. Okay, and the genie comes out, "What are your 3 wishes you want?" You know, you've seen those kind of fairy tales, all right? Sometimes we treat God like that. We ignore him and then, "Oh, God, I'm in trouble. Oh, God, please answer my prayer. God, please help me around, God. Please, I need your help." And God must look down from heaven and think, "Where have you been? I haven't heard from you in ages. You've been on holiday? Now you want something? Why you come begging to me? You know, go beg your friends. You know, you ignore me all the time. Why come looking to me?" And that's kind of the way it was with Saul. Saul comes running to God now. Trouble. He's got problems and he needs help. And he comes running to God and God says, "Who? You? Yeah, I don't know about you. You haven't been right with me for ages. You never repented of your sin. I'm not going to listen to you, Saul." And so God didn't listen to him. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 8 and 9 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." See, God wants us to do what is right. God wants us to be righteous and upright before him and to follow him and to do what is pleasing in his sight. So that's what God wants, and Saul wasn't doing that. Now, just like Saul, we will lack trust in God if we're not walking close to God. All right? You ever thought about that? Why don't we trust God like we should? It's because we're not close to God like we should be. A person who's walking really close to God is going to be able to say, "God, I need your help. Meet my needs. Guide me. Show me the way to go." And God is right there to help you and strengthen you and bless you. But when we get away from God and we do things we shouldn't do and we start straying away from God, sin keeps us from fellowship with God. Sin blocks our prayers from God. Sin will also lead us into more foolishness and more sinful choices. It's the way it is. It's like going down a steep slope. Any of you ever been on a sled on ice? No. Yeah, I mean, you don't know what it's like. It is awesome. I remember as a kid, we used to get on inner tubes from truck tires, the big truck train tires, you know, the great big ones that are about this big around. You blow them up and they're about this thick. And you blow those up and you put those on snow or ice and it's like grease. I mean, they just fly. And we would sit on pile on top of them, on the top of a big hill and slide down there. Get on the hill. Once you start down that hill, there's no stopping. I mean, you can jump off, but that's about all you can do because you can't stop. And you know, sometimes it's that way with sin. You know, you start into sin, you do something wrong, you get on the wrong slide, and you start sliding over that hill, and whoosh, you're gone. And there's no stopping. You made a mistake that led you the wrong direction. There's no jumping off. And you can't stop it. And, you know, we've got to be very careful of the things we do. Proverbs 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach. It is bad. It hurts us. We need to stay away from sin. Now, Saul foolishly goes and asks a witch for help. Very, very foolish thing to do. He had already killed a bunch of witches, and now he says to one of his servants, he says, I'm desperate. God won't listen to me. We've got all those soldiers out there. They're going to kill us tomorrow. I need help. I need to know what to do, how to manage the battle. Do you guys know where there's a witch? Maybe. Yeah, go find her. I want to talk to her. You? Yeah, I want to talk to her. And said, well, okay. And they took him to the witch at Endor. And he comes to meet her. And to be able to talk with her, he disguises himself. Because he knew that if he looked like King Saul, that she would never talk to him. And she denied all because she knew that King Saul was out to kill all the witches. And would think it was a trick. And so we find ourselves here in verse number 7. It says, then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. That means a witch, a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And the servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, put on different kind of clothes, made himself look like he was just a regular person, and put on other raiment and went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by a familiar spirit, and bring up him whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, and how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware unto her by the Lord. Saul is such a hypocrite. He swore to this witch in the name of the Lord, saying, I swear to you in the name of the Lord, you will not die. What's he know about the Lord? He's turned his back on the Lord. Now he's talking to a witch, and he knows that. He's seeking her help. And it goes on in verse 11, and then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake unto Saul, saying, thou hast deceived me, for thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? The woman said unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up. And he covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said unto Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed for the Philistines to make war against me. And God hath departed from me and answers me no more, and neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. And Samuel said, wherefore hast thou asked of me, seeing the Lord hath departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it unto thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. And Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all day nor all night. Now, let's just take a look at what happened here. He goes and he talks to this witch, says, I want to talk to Samuel. She uses her witchcraft and brings up Samuel. Now the question comes to our mind, was it really Samuel? A lot of debate over that, all right? Was it really Samuel? There's good guys that say, couldn't have been Samuel. God wouldn't let Samuel do that. Others say, that's what it says. All I can tell you, that's what it says. All right? God says it was Samuel. And it says Samuel spoke to him. It didn't say the devil spoke to him sounding like Samuel. It says Samuel spoke to him. How did that happen? I don't know. Was it right? Absolutely not. All right? Absolutely not. But all I can say is that's what it says. Whether it was really Samuel or whether it was the devil trying to trick him into thinking it was Samuel, I can't say for positive. All I know is what it says. It says it was Samuel. All right? And so you can ponder over that and think on it. But all we do know for sure is it was absolutely wrong. Saul should not have done that. It was a wicked thing to do. And asking of a witch to talk to a dead person is a very evil thing to do. We know that from many scriptures, but let me give you a couple just to make sure you understand. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse number 13 says, and Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. God says, one of the reasons, Saul, you're going to die is because you're asking a witch for help. That's one of the reasons you're going to die. The other reason is because you didn't obey me. So two reasons Saul died. Disobeyed God, and he asked counsel of a witch. Another verse tells us in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, a man also, or a woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. God said if there's a witch or a wizard or someone who has a familiar spirit, they are to kill them. Throw stones at them until they're dead. God says, I am against witchcraft completely. So for us today, you know, sometimes people will say, well, I just want to know what the future is. You know, I want somebody to tell me what's going to happen to me. You know, there's somebody, a palm reader, you know, they can look at your hand and say, oh, this is what's going to happen to you. That's evil. Or tarot cards. Or Ouija boards, or seances, or going to a witch, or a wizard, or the occult, or the things dealing with astrology. It's all evil. It's of the devil. Don't mess with it. It is wrong. It is evil. Just as God said, Saul, you are going to die because you ask counsel of a witch. God was serious about it. And if we go messing with those kind of things, they say, well, I'm just kind of curious. I want to know what my... Don't do that. You will bring upon you God's wrath. That is not good. Don't mess with that at all. Leave it completely alone. It is very evil and very wrong. Now, the message Saul heard was not good. What did he hear? He said, well, God's spirit's departed from you. Saul kind of already figured that one out. He said, God had departed from me. And he said, David is going to take your kingdom. Saul already knew that too. Wasn't good news, but he already knew that. And then one thing he didn't know is he heard, tomorrow you're going to be with me. What did that mean? He was going to be dead. He was going to be dead and he was going to be with Samuel. And Saul thought, tomorrow I'm going to die in the battle. You know, that's going to happen to all of us one day. But it must be a fearful thing. To know that tomorrow is your day. You got 12 hours left and you're going to die. I wonder what we'd do if we knew we only had 12 hours left. Some people might get right with God. Maybe we'd start witnessing to some of our family and friends we haven't witnessed to. I mean, it's a little bit of a fearful thing to think, but one of these days, all of us are going to come to that. But sometimes God doesn't give us warning. You may be killed in a car accident. Boom, just like that, and you had no 12 hours left. It's just right now. Bang, you're dead. You know, we never know. That's why it's important for us to be ready to meet God and make sure that we have things out of our lives that shouldn't be there and that we're walking with the Lord. Now, the message Samuel got, or Saul got, was true, but the method was evil. The message was true, but the method was evil. And I don't know why it transpired like it. I don't know why it came to pass like it did. I don't know why God allowed Samuel or a spirit that was representing Samuel or some, whatever it was. I don't know why God allowed that to happen to tell Saul. I don't know. We'll have to talk to God when we get to heaven about that. I don't know. All I know is that God was not pleased. God says, Samuel, or Saul, one of the reasons you're going to die is because you talked to that witch. That was wrong. You should not have done that. And so we can learn from that. Stay completely clear of anything that deals with witchcraft or the occult or Halloween, all that kind of stuff. It is of the devil. It is wrong. It is evil. We need to stay completely away from it and not have anything to do with it. Now, we've seen so far that David lacked trust in God. We see that Saul lacked trust in God. One last one briefly. The Philistines lacked trust in David. Chapter 29. Chapter 29. Now, you remember, the Philistines are on this hill over here. Saul's over here. Saul's overlooking it. And he said, whoa, boy, we're in trouble. So the Philistines are all ready for battle as well. And now the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek. And Israel pitched by the fountain that was in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. All right, so here's the situation. David's living with the Philistines. And Achish thinks David's one of his friends. Achish thinks that David hates Israel and he's one of the Philistine buddies. And so he says, David, we're going to battle against Israel. Here's your chance. Come on, get in the battle with us. And so all the Philistines are going forward in the battle. And here comes Achish up at the end of the line of the soldiers. He's dragging along the line of soldiers, and David and his men are at the end of the line. And the other soldiers that are up in front, they're saying, what is going on? What's this David and his buddies back here in our battle? He said, that's not going to go. We don't like that idea at all. So they're upset over it. Verse number 3. And the prince of the Philistines says, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said to the prince of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, which hath been with me these days and these years? And I have found him no fault in him since the day since he fell unto me unto this day. And the prince of the Philistines were wroth with him the prince of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, and that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed unto him, and let him not go with us down to the battle, lest the battle, in the battle, he be an adversary to us. For wherefore should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? All right, they're saying, listen, he'll turn on us and he'll kill us in the middle of the battle, so he can make his master happy, Saul. All right. So this is their thought. And there was good thought there. You know, God, even in the midst of this, David was doing wrong. He shouldn't have been in the Philistine land. He shouldn't have lived with them for 16 months. He shouldn't have been down there lying to Achish and telling him that I'm fighting against Israel. When he wasn't, he was lying. And all this kept getting him more and more in trouble. Now David is up to here in trouble, because now he's been told by Achish, come fight with Israel now. And David's in a mess. What's he going to do? Is he going to go kill his own countrymen? Or is he going to turn his back on the Philistines? Whew, he's got himself into a big mess. How's he going to get out of it? David's probably thinking, what are we going to do? We're in a big mess. Shouldn't have come down here to the Philistines. I shouldn't have lied to Achish. Oh, boy, I'm in trouble. Now what am I going to do? And God intervenes and causes the Philistine soldiers to say, get those Israelites out of here. We don't want them in the battle. And Achish comes to David and says, David, you're going to have to go home. And even in this, David still doesn't learn. He's still being rebellious against God. Notice how David responds. And David, in verse number 8, and David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? And Achish said unto David, answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight, and as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the prince of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now, rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose up early and departed in the morning and returned to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. David still doesn't admit any of it to Achish. He's still saying, but Achish, I've been your buddy. I've been loyal to you, Achish. Lies, lies, lies. He's still doing wrong. See, David is making so many mistakes here and doing wrong things. And he goes back and he's headed to Ziklag, and that's where we're going to find out next week. Now, you know, there's one thing I need to point out here with David. There's a big difference between David and Saul. Saul disobeyed God and never repented. David, every time he does wrong, he eventually gets right with God. He gets right with God and he begins doing right. And you know, that is a comfort and encouragement to us. We may make foolish mistakes, make wrong choices, but if we will get right with God, God will forgive us. God will forgive us. But what God can't forgive is when we refuse to get right with Him. We refuse to repent and get right, and we stay in our sin. God can't forgive that. But it's when God is ready to forgive when we come back to Him and we do what is right. Now, God frequently warns us to separate from the world and from ungodliness. Our flesh tends to dislike separation, but separation is for our good. It really is. When God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, that is for our good. That's not because God's mean to us. God knows what's best for us. God says, don't be their friend. Don't be around them. Stay away from those kind of people. Don't go to their kind of parties. Don't go to that kind of stuff. It'll hurt you. Stay away. Stay away. We say, oh, God, you're so narrow. No, God's saying, I'm loving you. I love you. That's why I don't want you to go that way, because it'll get you into big trouble. Stay away. We need to follow God's advice. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. See, God is warning us, stay away from evil. Don't befriend it. Don't go to those wild parties. Don't go to things you shouldn't go to. Stay away. Say, oh, people will be offended. Let them be offended. Honor God first. Don't worry about what people are going to think. We've got to do what's right, because God says separation is our protection. It's our protection. We need to stay away from evil. Now, God wants us to trust Him. God is absolutely trustworthy. We can trust God. But David didn't trust God. He got to looking at things from the fleshly view. And he thought, I'm going to die. I guess I'll have to run away to the Philistines. He didn't trust God. He didn't seek God. He didn't ask God for help. He didn't say, God, show me your will. Help me to know where I should go, where to hide, keep away from Saul. He didn't do that. He runs over to the Philistines and gets himself into big trouble and makes a mess of things. Next week, we're going to see how the trouble gets even bigger. And he's getting himself into a real mess. And But God, again, delivers him from all of that as well. But David was not trustworthy. He didn't trust God like he should, and he didn't trust God in depending on him. Saul did not trust God. He didn't get right with God. And God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to be trustworthy, both. David and Saul failed in these areas. Now, if you've not been trusting God and making decisions based on God's wisdom, you need to change. That's just the bottom line. If you've been making choices and making decisions based on your own feelings, your own personality, and your own judgments without seeking God's help, you need to stop doing that and start seeking God's help. We need God's wisdom in every single decision, big and small. We need God's help. And David could have saved himself a lot of grief if he would have done that. Whenever we make a wrong decision, it'll lead to another one and another one and another one, and it keeps getting worse. We need to stay close to God. We've been tempted, I hope none of you have, but if you've been tempted to dabble with witchcraft or the occult or palm reading or seances or any of that kind of stuff, you need to turn away from it and flee it like a deadly snake. It is bad. It'll hurt you. It'll turn God against you. You don't want that. Stay away from it completely. And that goes for cartoons that deal with witchcraft and and even, you know, the games and things that kids play, their computer games, there's all kinds of demonic things. Stay away from that stuff. It will hurt you and not help you. We need to be careful to stay away from those kind of things. And remember that God tells us all we need to know about the future right here in the Bible. God tells us what we need to know right here. If it isn't in here, you don't need to know it. God will tell you when you need to know. So let's trust God.